Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good that you are with us today because we launch a new series in our ongoing quest to know who God is. Beginning now, we will discuss another of God's many incommunicable attributes, and that is the immutability of God. More practically put, God is unchangeable. God does not change. He is unchangeable, or the theological word, God is immutable. And I will say more about that. As you know, if you listen regularly, we have already talked about some of God's incommunicable attributes, such as God being simple and God being self-sufficient, his aseity. When we discuss those, I stress the following. It is common in our theology to speak of the attributes of God in two categories. Category one are God's incommunicable attributes. Incommunicable meaning what is true of God that is not true of men and women. True of God, but not true of us. For example, God is all-knowing. His omniscience is one of his incommunicable attributes because no person is all-knowing. Category two are God's communicable attributes. Communicable meaning the human person bears some analogy to these attributes. So some of God's communicable attributes are love, and we can love. Mercy, and we can be merciful. And truthfulness, we can believe the truth and tell the truth. In other words, these attributes of God are communicable to the creature, whereas his incommunicable attributes are not. I also remind you that I do not like the word attributes. This is for several reasons, all of which I will not repeat. Let me give you two words I prefer: excellencies or perfections. My desire is to talk about God's excellencies or God's perfections. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I love how Peter says that we are to proclaim the excellencies of God. So let's change the word attributes to excellencies or perfections. And certainly one of God's incommunicable excellencies is that he is unchangeable. God does not change. As soon as I say that, we bump into an immediate difficulty. It's this: we cannot relate. God does not change, but we do change. God does not change, but everything in the world around us is changing, constantly, all the time. Think about it. You and I are in a constant state of change. As we age, our bodies change. We are not able to do, even with great difficulty, what we once did with ease. Do you remember how you used to be able to fly up a couple of flights of stairs, but now you have to pause halfway up, and you are walking instead of running? And we change our minds all the time. This happens with small and seemingly meaningless decisions like what to have for dinner, and with big, seemingly important decisions like what job to take, or what school to go to, or whom to marry, or whether or not to confront a friend with a problem. We change our diets, we change our clothes, we change dirty diapers on our little ones, and we attempt to change the direction of their lives when they hit the late teens and are moving in a direction we do not like. We sometimes change our attitude, and we often attempt to change the attitudes of others. We change homes. We change locations. We change jobs, schools, churches. People change. Haven't you ever experienced this in friendship? Once you were really close to so-and-so, but no longer. Constant change. But God never changes. And then all around us are changes. Seasons change. The weather changes. Favorite TV channels change. Companies change. Churches change. Schools change. We used to get change when cash was king, like when we purchased something. But now everyone just uses credit cards or an app on their phone, so there is no more change. But even that is a change from the way things used to be. Those of you in business or consulting know there is a whole discipline called change management. According to my understanding, this is a systematic approach to dealing with the transition or transformation of an organization's goals, processes, and technologies. The purpose of change management is to implement strategies for effectively controlling change and helping people adapt to change. Well, this is according to one article I read. And then the biggie, culture changes. As you well know, there is swift and often abrupt change taking place in many cultures around the world. By culture, I mean the ideas, customs, and social behavior of people in a society. All we have to do is be observant to what is going on all around us. Listen to your children and grandchildren and find therein major differences of opinion between how you see life and how they do. For those of you listening in America, if I have heard older Americans say once, then I have heard them articulate 100 times. I never thought in the United States we'd see, and you fill in the blank. I never thought we'd see rabid anti-Semitism. I never thought we'd have socialism. The thought never even crossed my mind we'd have gay marriage. I would never have envisioned a society that embraced and celebrated a boy becoming a girl or a man transitioning into a woman. Older and more conservative, if I can use that word, older and more conservative Americans seem completely caught off guard and deeply regretful of the fast change to the culture. Perhaps you are struggling with this. Full disclosure, I also struggle, although I do not seem to be as surprised as some. What do we expect from a godless society, and especially from a totally corrupt education system? One of the forces culpable for all this change is technology. It makes our heads spin how fast the technology of various kinds has changed and the way this has altered society. As Christians, we have a love-hate relationship with, for example, our mobile phones. On the one hand, they can be used for such good, like getting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world in an expedient manner. Ministries are now developing apps through which millions of people once denied access to the truth of God, now, with one simple click, have access. Countless lives are being transformed by the Spirit of God through the message blasted out through the computer, phone, and tablet. But, on the other hand, the evil one uses all this technology to destroy souls. Rampant, free, and easily accessible pornography. Children and teenagers using apps like Instagram to compare and contrast themselves with others, which results in really poor mental health and sometimes, tragically, self-harm and even suicide. And these awful video games where killing is sport, and this sometimes translates to the taking up of real arms and eliminating real people living real lives. AI is a somewhat new development, and while it can also be used for good, artificial intelligence is also dangerous and scary. How it is helping young people cheat on exams and papers is eventually going to be the least of our worries. Look, I use technology. Without it, you could not hear God is. I use technology, but I do so very aware of its downsides. And when I sit on a new airplane and benefit from its speed and size, how it can go 40,000 feet in the air and come back down again safely, or when I drive off in a car that will tell me when an accident is about to happen so that I can take evasive action, or when I order a book I really need and it arrives on my doorstep the next day, I am happy with the automation that made all this possible. My point is this: change. Technology has brought about such rapid change, and not all of this is good. So much change. But God never changes. What we will find as we proceed is that the never-changing God is a source of great comfort to us as His people. As we undergo and feel the mighty effects of the many alterations we have just discussed, it is easy to feel as if we have been swept up and swept away from what is solid and a very firm foundation. But for the believer, this is not true. Through Scripture, we read of the unchanging ways of God. In fact, just this morning, I was reading Isaiah chapter 33 when I came upon a very interesting verse. This is part of Isaiah 33, verse 6. "And the Lord will be the stability of your times." Stability. God is our stability. This prophecy had a present fulfillment when Isaiah gave it, and will have a future fulfillment in the millennial kingdom. Because this speaks of God, this is true for us as well. The Lord is the stability of our times. God is stable because God never changes. More next time on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.